Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitshanu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Yeah, I need to put my watch here. In case. I'm not sure if I will look here, but in case. Today's Torah chapter from Torah Kitisah is vibrant and full of important lessons for our lives. Really full of important lessons. I would call this chapter a chapter of contrasts and clashes of different worldviews. This is the chapter. So let's read Exodus chapter 32. And let us read whole chapter. Yeah. It is important to know the whole story to understand what is here. So, Exodus 32, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Get up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received them from their hand and make a molten calf fashioned with a chiseling tool. Then they said, "This is your God Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Verse 5. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Then Aaron made a proclamation saying, "Tomorrow will be a feast to Adonai." They rose up early the next morning, sacrificed burnt offerings and brought fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to make merry. Verse 6, very interesting verse. It's interestingly here. The people of Israel took an image of their Egyptian god from Egypt and worshipped him in the wilderness because this idol was familiar to them. You remember, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And also what the Lord showed me when I read verse 6, specific verse 6, that they worshipped an old idol, but now with the new spiritual knowledge. An old idol with the new spiritual knowledge. What I mean by that? I mean that the Lord taught them how to bring sacrifice and sacrificial offerings to him, to the Lord. And now they use this knowledge to worship an idol. Let's read verse 6. They sacrificed burnt offerings and brought fellowship offerings. Very specific offerings taught by the Lord. He taught them how to bring these offerings to him. And now they're using these offerings to worship an idol, a golden calf. In Egypt, they just worshipped a golden calf, but now they were bringing special offerings to the idol that were intended to the Lord. It reminds me of Balaam and his spiritual knowledge and how he used it to do harm to Israel. Do you remember false prophet Balaam? He took a knowledge about the Lord, he took his spiritual gifts, and he tried to harm people of God. Because there is great power in the spiritual laws, in the spiritual world, and it is evil when used to manipulate people or manipulate God or spiritual world. So, verse 7. Then Adonai said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have become debased. They quickly turn aside from the path that I commanded for them." They have made a molten calf, worshipped it, and sacrificed to it, and said, This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And verse 9, Adonai said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, leave me alone, so my wrath may burn hot against them, and so I may consume them, and make from you a great nation. Verse 11, I love this verse. Moses loved his people with all his heart. Then Moses sought Adonai his God and said, Adonai, why should your wrath burn hot against your people? Now it is his people, yeah? Whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt. Two verses before it was Moses. Now conversation goes back to the Lord. Whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Did you notice that the Lord and Moses had a family conversation here? Very close relationships. Which means the intercessor, the one who prays for people, needs to know the Lord closely as a family member. The Lord said, You brought your people out of Egypt. And Moses answered, saying that it is your people, O Lord, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. It looks like a negotiation between them. Verse 12. Why should the Egyptians say, He brought them out to do evil, to slay them in the mountains, and to annihilate them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, and relent from this destruction against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give to your offspring, and they will inherit it forever. Verse 14, as a result of this prayer. So Adonai relented from the destruction that he said he would do to his people. It reminds me that it's never late to pray for people. Never late. Never late to intercede for people. The Lord is full of mercy. He's a merciful God. He's loving God. He wants to give mercy. He doesn't want to punish. He likes to be merciful, to forgive. Hallelujah. But later, even more fun. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on one and on the other. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. Verse 17. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, do you remember the plate before this idol? He said to Moses, There is a sound of war within the camp. But Moses said, It is not the voice of a shout of victory, nor it is the voice of crying from defeat, but I hear the sound of singing. Then it happened, as soon as Moses came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and his anger burned hot. Now Moses is in anger. Before the Lord was, now is the Moses' time. He prayed so hard, he pressed the Lord so hard, he asked the Lord, and now he's angry. Sometimes it happened to us. We can pray for something, for somebody, then we can become angry. Then we can become, again, repent and pray to the Lord. So he threw the tablets out of his hands and smashed them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the surface of the water and made Bnei Israel, sons of Israel, drink it. Here is the war of two worlds. Here's. At the most crucial moment, when one of the key events in the history of the Jewish people take place, Moses ascends the mountain and communicates with God face to face, panim al panim. He abides in fasting and prayer for 40 days and nights, 40 days in the spiritual state, praying and interceding for his people. And at the very same time, the rest of the children of Israel, led by the high priest Aaron, built a golden idol, an Egyptian calf made of gold, and proclaim him their God at the same time. And you know that our Lord is a jealous God. And Moses smashed the tablets of the covenant, destroying the covenant that the Lord established with Israel, and at the cost of incredible humility and prayer, Moses stands in the gap between God and Jewish people. Later ascends the mountain again, and by the grace of God, restores the relations of the covenant, bringing the new tablets to his people by the mercy of the Lord. So now, let's look at the reasons for what happened and how we can avoid such a sin in our lives. I believe it is important to know how. So I would like to start with the calling of the Jewish people. Let's start from the beginning. We have many hours of teaching, so let's start from the beginning. The Lord chose his people and brought them out of Egyptian bondage for the purpose of making them servants and children of God. That was the purpose from the Lord to the Jewish people. Giving a prophetic revelation to Abraham and speaking about his future and the future of his descendants. The Lord gives him a calling to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. He called Abraham to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. Here's the Lord's promise and prophetic words to Abraham. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you. For what? To make your name great so that you may be a blessing. So that you may be a blessing. This was the calling of Abraham and his descendants. That is the essence of the existence of the Jewish people. And here's the important part. Through following the Lord and serving him, they were to be a blessing to all the people of the earth through following the Lord. You see, the Lord has plans far beyond our human ability to understand and embrace, far beyond. When we respond to the call of God, we cannot imagine the great plans of the Lord for our future. We can't comprehend his plans. We are human beings. Choosing Abraham, the Lord already had a plan for the Jewish people, Jewish nation. He already saw Jerusalem and the temple. It was in his heart when he called Abraham. The Lord already knew exactly when the Messiah would come and how he would die, having redeemed each of us. It was in the heart of the Lord. That was the calling of Abraham. Amen. I have a very simple prayer for you. Keep the faith. Follow in obedience. Don't get discouraged and don't stop, because all good things are ahead of you. The Lord knows your future. So the Jewish people were chosen, prepared, and redeemed from Egyptian slavery to give knowledge about the Lord and bring the Messiah, the Savior Yeshua, into this world. It was the main calling of the Jewish people. And not only that, look how many blessings came to this earth through the Jewish people. By choosing Abraham, the Lord gave many wonderful artists, doctors, scientists, composers, musicians, etc., 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 by choosing Abraham. But the heart of everything, the beginning of everything. All it started with the call to serve God. Let us say together, call to serve God. Now we have such wonderful doctors around us. You know why? Because Abraham said, yes, Lord. Simple, but important to remember. Everything starts with our serving to the Lord. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then Adonai said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, this is what Adonai, the God of the Hebrews, say, let my people go so they may serve me. Why do we have such a beautiful nation, nation of Israel? The main reason, so they may serve me. This is calling of the Jewish people, the main calling. This is where the source of blessing is, where everything important and valuable begins. Blessed is the man who serves the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God. And woe to that man and nation that distances itself from God. Woe. Psalm 73, verse 25, 26, and 27. Psalm 73. Here's the prayer. Here's the worship song. Here's the longing of David's heart. Here's his worship to the Lord. Whom have I in heaven but you? On earth there is none I desire besides you, on heaven and on this earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. People of God, the Lord is your portion forever, not only here, not only today, but forever. After your last breath, the Lord steal your portion forever. Verse 27, the key verse. For behold, those far from you will perish. You put an end to all who, like a harlot, are unfaithful to you. And verse 28 is the conclusion. But for me, it is good to be near God. So I'm not sure about, I'm sure about you. I'm sure about you because you're here. It is good to be near God in the presence of the Lord. I have made my Lord Adonai my refuge, so I will tell of all your works. Amen. Amen. And when we follow the goals that the God sets before us, He will surely provide us with everything necessary to achieve these goals. Finances, people, talents, His presence, and everything you need is in His presence, in His goal, in His calling. So now let's take a close look at God's providence for the Jewish people. And it is a very interesting discussion. Have you ever wondered who was the richest among the Jews who come out of Egypt into the desert? Who was the richest among the Jews? Did you ever consider? I can help you to know. This financial class. Those who listened to the command of the Lord and in obedience did what the Lord said to them. They were the richest one. Why? Because Exodus chapter 11, let us open, and you can check with me. You have your own Bible. You can see your own, by your own eyes. 11:2. Here's the commandment from the Lord to the Jewish people, right before they left Egypt, right before. Speak now into the ears of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, Egyptian neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor, for articles of silver and gold. This is the Lord saying to Jewish people through Moses. And Exodus 12:36. Adonai gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians and let them have what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Do you see here? The fact is that it was the salary of the Jewish people for 400 years of hard work. Here's the key. This wealth was a blessing from God. He commanded. And he speaks to Jewish people, and also at the same time, he speaks to Egyptian people. So they gave everything to Jewish people. Without him, they would have nothing. And they would have left Egypt poor without anything. I can imagine those Jews who were ashamed to go and ask for gold from the Egyptians, who did not obey the Lord and doubt that they would succeed. They became the poorest of all in Israel. Why did I didn't go to my neighbor? I had such a wonderful opportunity, but I didn't. And the obedient, who stepped over their fear and false shame, became the most successful in Israel, who actually went to Egyptian families and asked for gold. The truth is that the Lord himself was the source of their prosperity. In that moment, in that time, the Lord was the source of their prosperity. Amen. Now, you understand that one of the reasons why the Pharaoh went after the Jewish people with army was that he wanted to take back the wealth of Egypt. Who wants to give his money? Yeah, he wants to take it back. So, and I don't know why it's quiet here. I'm not sure. Maybe you're thinking about your neighbors right now. If you're not ready to leave, please do not ask anything. I mean, if you're ready to leave, ask the Lord. So, the second part. Now, let's think about why the Lord gave so much gold and other riches to his people. Why? What was the reason? Did he not know that there is no ATMs and banks in the desert where they can exchange gold for dollars? What do you think? Or shekels? Of course, from the very beginning, God knew about the 40 years that his people would spend in the wilderness. One of the main reasons the Lord has entrusted such treasures and prosperity. Do you remember the calling of the Jewish people? The main calling. We just spoke about it. Is that they will be a blessing to others. He entrusted them that so they can be a blessing to others. He wanted to test the hearts of his children of Israel, to teach them how to use his blessings correctly. It was the lesson for them. One of the most important tasks from the Lord, and the Lord gave them, was to build the house of God, the tabernacle of Moses, and constantly maintain a ministry there. And if you noticed, gold and silver, precious stones were entrusted to them to construct God's house. The next chapters we will find that Moses commanded them to bring gold and silver to build Mishkana, the glorious place where the presence of God can dwell. So what went wrong in their hearts? And of course, I don't have time to talk about all the reasons, but let's look at some of them, very simple ones, two reasons. Firstly, they thought that they were chosen because they were unique. Something special about them. The Lord loved them more than others. So now they called because of that. And because of that, they can go where they want to, do what they want to, serve whoever they like. Do you remember how many times the Jewish people wanted to return to Egypt or become part of the other nations that lived around them? How often they argued with Moses and questioned the will of God. Many times. 40 years. It was full of these situations. So therefore, they decided that they deserved to be rich, successful, and chosen. They deserved to be rich. And when Moses humbled himself and fasted for 40 days before the Lord, the rest of the people decided that it was time to take the bull by the horns. Literally. They built a bull to take him by the horns. To forge their luck. here's our time. They thought, since we are the chosen ones and God has blessed us with everything we can wish for, let's build ourselves a convenient God, an idol that can be controlled and directed. Let us command to this God. Let us use this God to our prosperity. Not the Lord who leads us, whom we must obey and humble ourselves, serving Him and Him alone. They decided to use God's blessing, and here's the very important point here. Please remember that. They decided to use God's blessing to create a deity for themselves and serve Him. They took God's blessings, built a golden calf, so that golden calf can serve them, can prosper them even more. It reminds me of the times in which we live today. Today, from the lips of many people who are called to share the truth of the Lord, you can hear that the Lord only wants to make you the wealthiest, most prosperous, and all you need is to do is to give and proclaim, and in return, of course, you will receive 10 times more. Looking at the example from today's Torah chapter, I see a warning to each of us. And here's the warning from the Lord. How dangerous it is to think that you are rich and prosperous or live in the richest country in the world because you are unique and better than other people. What do you think? If you start thinking that you are worthy of prosperity and God's love and mercy more than anyone else and cease to be a blessing to others, then your wealth becomes your golden calf and your problem. I know that gold is neutral and it can serve God or the golden calf. It's neutral. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Let us open this verse so that you will truly know that it's not my words. You can see for yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It is not Rabbi Yuri said. It is Yeshua the Messiah said. I just read it. Matthew 6, 24. No one, wait a minute, Lord, I can. No one, the Lord, I know that no one, but, you know, I will try maybe. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stick by one and look down on the other. And here's the truth. You cannot serve God and money. And in Greek, the word money, it's translated more like prosperity or richness. It's very important to understand. And please, understand me correctly. It is good to have money. I'm not saying about this. But you cannot serve all your life to prosperity. You cannot do your prosperity your God. It's impossible. If the Lord entrusted you with money, with richness, it's a great thing to have. It's a blessing from the Lord. But you always need to remember this for some purpose. It is the Lord gives you so you can be a blessing to others. This is very important to remember. It is up to you to decide what to do with your life. Whose house to build, the house of God or an idol convenient to carry around? And here's the very important message. God blesses this country. We live in America. But woe to the people who are proud and think that they are more worthy than others. No. No. When a nation forgets the Lord and His calling, it ceases to be a blessing to those around, and strife, useless quarrels, and wars come. as a result of it. The people lose their purpose and the meaning of their existence. We need to remember the Lord is our God, not the golden idol. Amen. Of course, I want to share one secret. You know me, I like to share one secret. Plus, please do not tell anyone, it's our secret. And if you're looking right now online, do not tell anyone, please. One secret. A truly successful person is the one who has joy and meaning in his life. The one who has found peace and happiness is rich. If somebody has no luck to be born in America, but lives in poor country, and he knows the Lord, he's rich, spiritually rich. It doesn't matter where you live. If you live here and have blessings in your life, you can be rich also spiritually. Fill your heart with the Lord, with his calling, and you will be a rich person. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't have time to read all the chapter, but please read at home. It's very important. Verse 2. For he says, the Lord says, at a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Which means now, right now, today, Yeshua is here. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, he speaks about himself, about believers who believe in the Lord, as dying and behold we live, as disciplined yet not put to death, as grieving yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing everything. How interesting. It turns out that you can have nothing but be the wealthiest person on earth, provided one condition, that you fulfill God's will. And you can have treasures but not have God and be an unhappy, miserable, spiritually poor person who does not have happiness and meaning in life. And the good news, you can have both. You can be rich and be blessed if you are using your richness in God's direction. Again, I'm not saying that you should be all poor. I'm saying that we should build God's house and be a blessing to others. The house of God is people who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, wherever they live and wherever they possess. In conclusion, I want to read the place of the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5. Here is the explanation of this war. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Here is the war between two different worlds or worldviews. Galatians 5, 16, 17. But I say, walk by the Ruach, by the Spirit of God, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. But the Ruach sets its desire against the flesh. So these are in opposition to one another. It is a constant battle between Moses, who are on the mountain of the Lord, and the rest of the people who wants to build a golden calf. It is always there. The question, we all sinful people, and inside us there will always be a war of two worlds, always. The flesh and the world of the spirit, always. The most important question is which side your heart, your will, your decision will take. Who will you put first? Moses, who fasted and prayed for 40 days in order to receive the Torah, scroll of Torah, hear the voice of God exactly and did not miss anything. He fasted for 40 days. Or as the rest of the people of Israel who decided to relax, you will use God's gifts, talents, and blessings for a pleasant life, so that your life becomes a party, a holiday. As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about today's Torah portion, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In the last conclusion, God is merciful and gives a second chance. He's merciful. Let us say together, He's merciful. He likes to be merciful. He's merciful, God. Despite such a serious crime, idolatry, one intercessor, Moses, stood in the gap and protected the Jewish people from God's wrath. One person who knows the Lord, who knew the Lord. So today the same, we are called to be intercessors for our countries, stand in the gap, to be a blessing to our cities and our nations. Do not judge or condemn, but pray and bless. And I know as Moses, sometimes you can be angry. Do you remember Moses who came down from the mountain? He saw everything. He was angry. But it took him not long time to be angry. He again became an intercessor for the Lord, for the people of Israel, before the Lord. James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Very powerful. Amen. I would like to invite Rabbi Tzanina to join me. Let us stand together. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. Let us pray together to the Lord. Yivrecha ha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.